हरि ओम। इन लास्ट क्लास वी स्टार्टेड विद श्लोका नंबर 2 वेयर लक्ष्मीधर कवि सेज आई एम सच्चिदानंद एंड दिस आई एम सच्चिदानंद इज वेरी क्लियरली एक्सप्रेस्ड इन Upanishads by the Mahavakya Tattvamasi. When you say Tattvamasi, all you are saying is that Aham Brahmasmi. All you are saying is that Sachidananda Brahma is me, the Atma. So in order to make it a statement that with logic I understand that Sachidananda Brahma is me. Lakshmidhar Kavi says, I am, I shine, and I am never dislikable to myself. Atah, therefore, it is established that I am Brahma. I am the Sachidananda. So, Lakshmidhar Kavi says it very cryptic. He says it in shloka and just leaves it there. But the hidden meaning behind all of it is what we are left to uncover. And that's where we take help from Swayam Prakash. When Lakshmidhar Kavi said, Aham Asmi Sada, I always am. What is the logic to say that I am? So first, by saying I, we have to refer to not the ego I, but we should take our attention towards the Sakshi. The Sakshi I. That is my nature. So when we focus our attention to Sakshi I, then this Sakshi I is always there. In all three periods of time, it's there. Why do we say it is always there? Because when the Sakshi is there, then alone body can be. Then alone the mind can exist. So by simply saying, Aham Asmi Sada, the logic is very clear that because I am the substratum for the BMI, I am of the nature of existence. How can one be existence by being the nature? It's because all these things that we see, the body, the mind, the intellect, we feel that they exist. They are. That feeling of they are comes because of the very core, very nature. We wear silk cloth. So the silk cloth feels what? Silky. So feels very smooth, very, very nice. But that's because the material silk is like that. So, the cloth is taking the property of that silk and it is spread out everywhere. The same way, just by saying Aham Asmi, I prove to myself that I am the existence. That is first logic presented by Swayam Prakash. Now, logic number 2. Sadabhami. I always shine. So there, by shine, I illumine the three avastas. The waking, the dream, the deep sleep. I the Sakshi. So Sakshi doesn't change, but when I say I shine. So by saying I shine, the logic is that when I shine, the waking world is known, the dream world is known, and the deep sleep world is also known. So there's no deep sleep world, but we understand what is deep sleep. Because I shine. So I am the illuminator of the three avastas. And by saying, kadachinnaham apriyaha, there's never a moment where I dislike myself. So by saying, there's never a moment I dislike myself, I am that which is absolute bliss. I am the absolute bliss means any disturbances of the mind, any dukkha felt by the mind, any sukha felt by the mind does not disturb my peace. That is the idea of I am never dislikable to myself. So, as a witness, this doubt is that I'm a witness. Why is there a like and dislike there? Because like and dislike is with ego. The priya, apriya is with ego. So where is Sakshi coming? Is Sakshi having no priya? We are understanding Sakshi to be indifferent, which is correct. But in that indifference, there is a peace. And that peace is the nature of bliss. When there's a big fight happening and you are simply a witness, don't you feel happy? I'm not in this mess. I am just a bystander. And by being that bystander, you feel like, okay, good. I was never part of that. That's that bliss. That's that happiness of being the witness. Because when you associate with the dukkha, you feel yourself to be dukkhi. And when you associate yourself with sukha, you invite agitation because after sukha, enjoyment, dukkha is there. Or there is a dukkha that the sukha ended so quickly. So the point is, whenever we associate with sukha and dukkha, we are associating with the mind. Whereas the Sakshi, by simply being a witness, is in the nature of this. And therefore, this bliss never experiences sorrow at all. And whenever sorrow comes, I dislike that sorrow. I dislike the sorrow because my nature is sukha. That's the logic for kadachinnaham apriya. So I am of the nature of bliss because I dislike sorrow. Therefore, it is proven that I am Brahman. This is the logic. Swayam Prakash Hetuji gives. And what is the Pratignya, Hetu, and Udaharana? So this is the methodology used. The Pratignya is that I am Sachidananda. Okay. So where is that? The Pratignya is I am not different from Brahman. Which is same as I'm Sachidananda. So, why? Because I have the same nature as Sachidananda. what is the logic for saying that I'm Brahman is because the characteristics Chidananda are found in me. And what is the example? The example is like how Brahman is. So Brahman has the characteristic of Sat Chit Ananda. I have characteristic of Asmi, Bhani, and Priya. Therefore, I'm Brahman. Very simple logic. Therefore, this idea of Pratignya, Hetu, and Udharana won't make sense here as such. In the next shloka, it will become very clear. So this much we have seen last week. Now this week, we would like to see, or we actually also saw one argument that was placed. Now the reason for these arguments are, so we clearly understand the idea behind the shlokas. And those doubts that come about, those can also be clear. So the doubt here is, first doubt is, my experience tells me that I am not Ishvara. No, I'm Ishvara. I don't feel like I'm Brahman. Then why do you keep saying I'm Brahman? This feeling is very contrary to the statement itself. So then how can you say I'm Brahman? So then Swayam Prakashyati ji says, well, the understanding is wrong there. We are feeling ourselves to be limited because we are associated with something that is limited. If somebody, you know, we are living our life, not we. Let's take an example. There's a person who has been living a life of a beggar. But is not knowing that he comes from the most wealthiest family. So this person, when he finds out that he is the most richest person there, he has this property, bank balance, and everything in his name, what does he need to change to feel that he is wealthy? Nothing. He has to just change his mindset. Before, he used to think that I'm a beggar, so he used to keep his behavior like that, that I must go and beg for my food. But now he doesn't have to. But in order to make that change happen, the person has to be changing from within. Likewise, if we associate ourselves with the body, then the limitations of the body, I feel, are my limitations. If the Sakshi is no longer Sakshi, and Sakshi becomes attached to the body, then the Sakshi will feel that body's limitations are my limitations. So obviously, then I will not say I am Ishvara. But Ishvara is without name, without form. Therefore, how can body or senses ever reach this Ishvara? It's not possible. Therefore, to measure the equivalence of the jiva to Ishvara based on the anubhava, based on the experience, is not correct, because our experience is through a faulty means. You go to movie, and it's a 3D movie, but you wanted to be a little bit cheap, so you took your own 3D glasses with you, and now you are not able to experience the 3D movies, and you see you're not able to see those effects, because when you actually remove, you don't see the clear image that you would see when you're watching a 2D movie. You kind of see those blue lines or green lines and the borders and edges, right? So because you wanted to use your own glasses, you missed out on the 3D. So where is the fault? The fault is not in the picture. The fault is not in you. The fault is in the instrument, which could relate to you. Likewise, the fault is not in the sakshi, and the fault is not even in the objects. The fault is there in the attachment to the instrument. And because of that attachment, I tell the world is limited, I am limited, my experiences are limited, therefore I am a limited being, and Ishvara is unlimited, so I cannot be Ishvara. This is a wrong take. Likewise, mind also is limited. Mind is witnessed by Sakshi. So that which is witnessed by Sakshi, how can that know Sakshi? It's not possible. The knower cannot be known. Because if the knower is known, then knower loses its independency. Because that which is known, anything that you see in this world, that which is known is subject to destruction, is inert. It is separate from me, then only it can be known. So when I say, if I know myself, it is not like how I know myself through the mind as a thought. Therefore, mind cannot reach this Brahman. So stop making this argument, I do not experience myself to be Brahman, therefore I'm not Brahman. Because the instrument we use for knowing the world cannot be the instrument we use in knowing my Brahmanhood. So what is the instrument? Scriptures alone are the instrument. Scriptures alone is an aid during our meditation to take us from Savikalpa Samadhi to Nirvikalpa Samadhi. It is not the mind. Mind is guided based on what the scriptural thoughts are. So one experience, anubhava, is negated this way. Second objection. The second objection is, Jiva and Ishvara are two separate. Jiva and Ishvara are two separate. How are they separate? Jiva is knower of something very small, knower of something that is limited. And Ishvara is knower of all. Like how fire and ice. Fire is opposite of ice. One is hot, one is cold. So how one is completely opposite of the other is like how Jiva and Ishvara are at the complete opposite. This is also an experience we feel. We experience this. So again, this experience is not that. Different logic. So Swayam Prakashati gives a different logic. Argument is although similar, but in a different way he is presenting the argument. First is the experience that I don't feel I am the Ishvara. First objection was, I don't feel I am the Ishvara. Second objection is saying that if you look at the inherent characteristic of Jiva and Ishvara, they both are separate. So even if you tell me in the first objection, even if you tell me that you cannot use your instrument to reach to Brahman, but still if you look at the inherent quality differences, they are separate, they are different. So how can you say Jiva and Ishvara are same? How can you say Satchidananda is same as Atman? That is the second objection. Okay, did I lose anybody now? Okay, I got one thumbs up.
It's rather profound. It takes a lot of, I'm reading through the commentaries as well, so, and it's slowly sinking in, but it'll take some time.
I don't think Guruji in his commentary has made it this technical. So Guruji has not made it that technical. I am going technical because you get something else additional to the simple knowledge that Guruji has presented. A different way to understand the objection. I'll repeat one more time, just so we are clear about the objections. Objection one was, I don't experience myself to be Ishvara. Well, based on what do you say that you don't experience yourself to be Ishvara? Is because you use the mind, intellect, body. So because you use an instrument which by itself is faulty, obviously you will not feel that you are Ishvara. So by saying that your instrument are faulty, you can never reach Ishvara that way. That is the response. So a counter objection to that is, well, what if we say there is inherent fault? Jiva is limited inherently. And Ishvara is limited, is not limited. Is unlimited. That is their inherent characteristic. And this is what we find in this creation. This is what we find in the world. So Jiva and Ishvara are both separate. Then how can you say Sachidananda is me? And the example he gives is fire and ice. Both have opposite nature. The answer, Swayam Prakashatiji says, is this. We are looking at the differences. We are looking at the superimposition and then are saying there is Jiva and Ishvara. But here, the comparison of Sachidananda and Atman is at the level of substratum. So you cannot do a comparison at the Jiva and Ishvara level because yes, they are different. Because the Jiva and Ishvara concept is coming in the concept of creation. If you have cotton shirt, then you have to have the cotton material for you to have cotton shirt. So there the cotton is Ishvara, shirt is Jiva. But the substratum is cotton. That fiber, that is the substratum which is found in cotton also and found in the shirt also. So at a substratum level is what we are saying, Sachidananda and Atman are saying. How? So he gives an example. Says, you have a high pitch sound. Okay. There's a place where a high pitch sound is made. And then there is a place where there's a low pitch sound. So in this way, different sounds are made. Would you say that the space where the high pitch sound was made, that space was high pitched? And the space where the low pitch sound was made, that space was low pitched? Did the space have to change its characteristic based on the sound? No. We know space is not affected irrespective of the sound. So to say that Ishvara and Jiva are different is not correct because you are taking their upadhi, you are taking their conditioning, and then you are comparing. But the scriptures do not compare Jiva and Ishvara with their upadhi. They drop the upadhi, they drop this conditioning, and then they compare at the substratum. Therefore, this experience also is not correct. So two experiences rejected. Then the third objection is raised. Okay, well, but the argument is that in Mundaka Upanishad, there's a shloka where it says, Dva Suparna Sahuja Sakhaya Samanam Vruksham Parishashvajate Tayoranya Pippalam Swadvati Anashnananyo Rabichakashiti. This is the Mundaka Upanishad. Did you understand some of it? Do you understand the, have you probably have heard of the context of two birds. Okay? And both two birds are sitting on one branch. Right? So dva suparna, there are two birds. Sahuja sakhaya, they are both friends. They're both, brothers. But samanam vriksham parishashva jati. And on one tree, they are sitting on two different branches. One of them is looking at the world external. And he is enjoying all the external objects. And the other is anashnan anyaha. The other one is not enjoying anything of the external and is simply quiet. So the argument taken here is, you see, the scriptures also are pointing out to the same idea that one that was not consuming everything was silent, quiet, is this Atman. And the other one, which was enjoying, that was that Jiva. And both are separate. Both are two different things. So scriptures also are trying to say that. Why can't you accept that Atman and Jiva are separate? So then Swayam Prakashatiji says, no, that's not correct. You are taking the shloka out of context. The point is true that the shloka started by explaining that there are two birds. One is internal, other is external. But that is a starting point. That is not where the Mundaka Upanishad finishes. The Upanishad then further goes on to say that by going external, the one who is external faces so much sorrow. And the one who was internal is there waiting. And once that person becomes tired, the internal is ready for this knowledge. So they come to a point where they merge. So that's where the scriptures are trying to take us. That there is a point of merger between the two. So to say that Jiva and Atman are separate is also not correct. Because scriptures alone say, what do scriptures say? He quotes, where does it go? He quotes Tattvamasi. So Swayam Prakashatiji says, you look at scriptures, you're quoting scriptures, you look at scriptures where it says Tattvamasi. Tattvamasi is what it is trying to say, you are that. Thou art that. So the scriptures alone are saying that our ultimate purpose is to reach to that substratum by knowledge that I am this Brahman alone. Therefore, all these arguments are nullified. And I must accept that I am Brahman alone. And to prove his point, he uses Panchloka that summarizes all these objections in one go. So the shloka is Tvai mai cha ganyamane mashakan mashako hameva. So Tvai, you, the Ishvara. Mai, me, the Jiva. So you and I, when we compare, ganyamane, if we count, if we compare this way, mashakan, mashakaha, ahameva. I am smaller than a mosquito. Deha drishya, with respect to the body. So if we are considering Ishvara as the total body, the total world, the total creation, and Jiva as the individual being, individual creation, individual body, then in that comparison, I am smaller than mosquito. But Vishwa Adhikesha. But if we look at it from not from the body perspective, from the subtle substratum perspective, in you and in me, te me sadbodhat sadbodha ananda purnata tulya. If we look at ourselves from the substratum perspective, then you and I are sat, existence, bodha, consciousness, ananda, bliss, purna, filled with tulya, comparison. So you, the Ishvara from substratum level, are me only, existence, consciousness. This is the scriptures only saying. So he is quoting this piece from somewhere. Therefore, ataha brahma eva iti. Therefore, I am Brahman alone. There should be no doubt at all that I am not Brahman. Okay. This is proven by logic. I am not Brahman. Any doubts? Any confusion? I can see it is really, really tough, because I know when I see your faces, it's your eyebrows are coming up.
The third one is little bit tough. The first two are okay.
First two are okay, meaning the script, the Shruti.
Yeah.
The objection about the Shruti.
The last opinion three, you know, the last example you gave now, the like Ishvara is big and I am like a mosquito. I didn't get that point.
Oh. Here the shloka Swayam Prakashiti ji is quoting the shloka where whoever this person is, the sadhaka, the seeker, or the Jnani, is saying that when I count you as Ishvara and I as a Jiva, then I am like a mosquito in comparison to who you are. Okay? Because it is Deha Drishya, comparison with the body. Like how when Hanumanji says to Lord Ram, that if I compare myself and to you, I am nothing but your servant, body wise. So, deha buddhya tu dasoham, jiva buddhya tolam shakaha. But if I take myself to be jiva, that I'm your amsha. That is the idea. Amsha. I'm like a small mosquito in comparison to you, the vast creator of this creation. But te me, when I compare you and I from the substratum level, Vishwadhikesha, then you are similar to me in Satchit Ananda Swarupa. You also have Satsarupa, I also have Satsarupa. Because you alone are this entire creation. therefore, I'm not separate from you. So when we say, Ahamasmi sadabhami kadachinnaham apriyah, I am speaking from the level of substratum that I am Sachidananda. So our knowledge is changing from physical appearance to understanding that I am the substratum and therefore I am Sachidananda. Namaji, that makes it clear?
Yes.
Archana ji, clear? Archana ji.
I have to listen to it many times. And okay. It is better than after you explained the second time.
Okay.
So one more question I have is, a person who is realized, you know, when you want to be realized, your mind and intellect is, it can take you there, we can use it, but then at that point, mind and intellect instruments are of no use, right? It's the scriptures which we take there. But person who is realized, he or she will still be using the mind and intellect all the time, but at the same time be realized. How can two things happen at the same time in a person with that jiva?
Yes. When you see the instrument, you know all the capacity that the instrument has, and you also know how to use the instrument, then you can make whatever that is the best. But if you don't know the instrument, you have not understood the instrument and you continue on using it, then all you can do is make a mess of it. So the jnani, when they understand that mind intellect is an instrument, but I am not the instrument, they use the instrument for transaction purposes. And once the transaction is over, they leave the instrument. Like how somebody who's a musician picks up a flute or picks up a different kind of instrument. They know all the ins and outs of the instrument. So they can make a nice music of it. But once the use is over, the transaction is over, they will put the instrument back. What we don't have is two things. We don't know how to put the instrument away. Meaning we don't know how to disassociate ourselves from the upadhi. And two, we consider ourselves to be the upadhi. We consider ourselves to be the instrument. So this confusion is arising because of the purpose of our class is not so that you can leave out of here with a faith. Yes, I believe now that I am Brahma. It's not a matter of belief. You should not say, I believe I am Brahma. You should say, I understand I am Brahman. Because in understanding, there's a backing of knowledge. In belief, there is merely a faith. I'm not saying faith is not, faith is something tremendous to have. But here to understand Brahman, we have to put faith aside. I'll continue to repeat this thought many times. Because here the fact is not about faith. Okay. Any thoughts? When we study bhakti text, I will only tell you about faith. Have faith, have faith, have faith. No further thoughts are there, then let's move to the next shloka.
I had a question from the previous class.
Okay, go ahead. From shloka one?
Shloka one, which the line to Sachidananda Lakshanam, is the Sachidananda Lakshanam refers to both Jiva and Brahman, or it is saying that, you know, in the line one, it explained why I am, you know, Aham is Sachidananda. So I just want to know, the Sachidananda Lakshanam is referring to Brahman there?
Yes. So Sachidananda Lakshanam Brahman Aham Eva. Ataha. So the anvaya, if you do, the anvaya will be Sachidananda Lakshanam Brahma Ahameva. I alone am. Ataha Siddham.
Because Aham Asvi, Aham Sadabhami, Aham Kadachitta, Aham Napriya. Okay. Second question I had was, I think there was somewhere you mentioned, Sadabhami, I shine and illumine everything in the world. So when I'm looking at another person who is also, you know, who also has Satchit Ananda, at that point, am I illumining that person to see that person also? Or that illumining refers to inert objects only?
Right. So we cannot illumine other Sachidananda. Because if you started to illumine the Sachidananda of the others, that means the Sachidananda became limited.
Yeah.
So the moment you say that you illumined or you came to know the other person, the only thing that we came to know about the other person is the inertness of that person.
So because the other person is also body, mind, and intellect, that is why I'm illumining to see or know the other person.
Correct. So okay. When I illumined, I only illumined the BMI.
Okay.
But when I illumined the BMI, I experienced Sachidananda. So there the experience of Sachidananda, that this person is Sachidananda, that, and I am Sachidananda, that. There is a oneness you felt. And that oneness you didn't feel outside. You felt within. That there is this one Atman which is making this BMI function. And that is me.
This okay, thanks.
This feeling of that is me is because there is a body. The moment you break the body, then you don't even have this feeling, that am I.
Okay, thanks, Dhirinji. Those are the only questions I had.
So Dhirenji, so when Sakshi illumines the world and my ego comes to know that, so my ego can only identify the illumination of Namarupa. The Astibhati Priya is the Sachidananda, which is not experienced by my ego. Is that what it means?
I'm not clear the question.
So aham sakshi and it illumines the world. So another person with sentiency, but how do I put it? This is after just going off of Hemaji's question actually. So my ego cannot identify that Sachidananda. So it can only identify Namarupa. Is that what it is?
Correct.
Okay.
So there's an echo of my phone. The ego is associating with the mind, and whatever mind knows, the ego is merely saying, I know. So the ego's job is to do what? The ego's job is to say, aham karoti. That is what is called as ahamkar. Aham karoti, I did. Mind's job is to know. So when the mind knows something, the ego basically said, I knew, whatever that is. Sakshi's job is, I illumined what the ahankara associated, what the ahankara said as I. So Sakshi illumined the I, and Sakshi illumined the mind, which was knowing also simultaneously. So when the Sakshi illumined all of this, the experience of the other's Sachidananda is not that I knew the Sachidananda there. I don't know the Sachidananda there through my mind and anger. I know the Sachidananda there by the knowledge that I am that all-pervading, which is everything. So it's a matter of knowledge. It's not a matter of perception or texture, vision. So it's not senses or mind that is telling me that there is Sachidananda there, but it is knowledge that is telling me Sachidananda is everywhere. So we don't have time for the next shloka to start off with. However, let me give an introduction of what's going to happen next. Now, scriptures also scriptures speak about Brahman as all-knowing and the cause of all. So the two words, sarvajna and sarvakarana. This sarvajna and sarvakarana is my nature. So because I have all knowership, and also I am the cause for everything, I have to be Brahman. So I have to prove, not I, but Lakshmidhar Kavi has to prove with logic that I am all knower and I am the cause of all. That's what the next shloka is about. These terminologies we will find in scriptures many times. Brahman is Nitya. Brahman is Sarvajna, Sarvakarana. At that time, all we can think about is that which is all-knowing. So we associate all-knowing with, okay, I can know this subject, that subject, that subject. And the cause for everything is, okay, I can make this, I can make that, but I cannot make this, I cannot make that. We automatically associate with our BMI. And then we say, I know or I don't know. I am the cause of it or I'm not the cause. To break that limitation and to get us to a whole new plane by saying that I know everything, I'm the knower of all. And at the same time, I'm the cause of all. I caused everything. This entire creation is because of me. This is the height of knowledge. That is what we will see next. Okay. So, if possible, read through the next shloka so that you're aware of what's coming. And then next week we'll see that. Om Purnamadam Purnamidam Purnat Purnam Udachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om. Hari Om.
Thank you,
Dhirenji.
Hari Om, Hari Om, thank you.